Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31.
Ah, small letters. Can you read?
No.
Oh yeah, it's big here. Small. Okay, ready? Let's read together. One voice. You ready? Begin.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And his gate was a day of better name.
Covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the
rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received the bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I'd like to share with you, okay, I'd like to share with you the real story. This Luke chapter 16 is a real story with real name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may think this is a parable. You may think this is some kind of fairy tale story. It's a fake story. No, this is real story. Amen?
Amen.
Let me start to say this is a real story. How do we know? We know the real name. The beggar's name is what?
Lazarus.
See, if it's a parable or some other fake story, you will not use a name like this. There is a real name called Lazarus, and he was a beggar. And there's a real name called Abraham. He's a real person, as we know, right? So this is a real story. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to understand this is a real story, okay? And then let's go deep into this story now. Okay, first section, I want to read 19 to 21. Okay, once more, let's read it slow. What font is this?
28.
28? Okay, 한 번 더. 좋아요. Okay, let's go. Let's read one more time. Verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and linen, fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. Okay, now this is a story about rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Okay, now you start with the story with the rich man. In this world, there's a rich man and there's a beggar, isn't it? Okay, now this is a rich man was very rich. How do we know? Because Bible says he was dressed in purple. Now the purple signifies the royal family, the kingly family. Okay, it's a line of king and royal, and it's a very rich family. Okay, that purple is actually symbolized a king. Alright, so he was in the rich family and he wear fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Wow. He lived in luxury every day. If we were to compare today's richness, maybe he's a Bill Gates. Huh? Maybe, I don't know. Who else is rich?
Trump.
He has on his own jet. Before he became a president, he already had his own jet. And he has many buildings called Trump. Oh, Trump, yes, right.
Anybody else you can think of? Rich person in this entire world?
Dangote in Nigeria.
Okay. Okay, I believe you. Huh? Who's that?
From
your country?
No.
How about Paul J. Kim?
Huh?
Joseph?
Yeah.
In the Bible?
Yeah. No.
Are you talking about you?
Yeah.
Man, that's right. Bible in the Joseph, he was also rich, right?
Yeah.
And he was a prince of the Egypt. Okay, so when you talk about rich people, all of a sudden you're brightened, your eyes are brightened, you're awakened now. You want to be rich too, huh? Okay. So this person is so rich, living in luxury every day, riding BMW or Mercedes Benz. You know, he has a 10 Mercedes Benz. Number one, he drive, and then number two, you know, has a house and his servants everywhere. I mean, just so rich. Okay, so living a luxury life. Now and then, you see another person in the Bible. At verse 20, at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. Now, you see the comparison, right? The rich person is so rich, too much rich, living in luxury. And you see another person, beggar. Huh? Too much poor. He's poor, but he's too much poor. And in fact, he's covered with sores. Right? He hasn't eaten much, so he's lacking vitamins and minerals. You know, his sores everywhere. Yeah? His hair is messed up. He never went to barber shop. Yeah? Maybe his face doesn't look clean. Look at verse 21. It describes how this man was poor. Okay? Look at verse 21. And longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So you can see how poor he was. He's waiting, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. See, he's outside of the rich man's castle, and he's there, longing to eat food that fell from his table, right? That perhaps he would throw the food outside for the dog to eat. So when he throws the food outside, like a trash, he's longing to eat those trash. You could imagine how poor he was. Okay, next section. Verse 22, let's read together. Begin.
The time came when the beggar died, and the elders carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried.
Okay, now you see the story. Rich man and a beggar. But the time came. But the time came. If they live on earth and the life finishes there, maybe that's something else. But the problem is, and this is a big problem, this is too big problem, is that life does not finish on this earth.
Amen.
I say it again. The time will come in your life. Well, your life on earth will finish, and you will begin life of eternity.
Amen.
Life of eternity. Mm. Everybody say, life of eternity.
Life of eternity.
One more time. Life of eternity.
Life of eternity.
Tell somebody, you are going to live forever.
You are going to live forever.
You have eternal life in you.
You have eternal life in you.
Okay? So we know that every person will die once. We know the scripture Hebrews 9:27 says, just as man is destined to die once, I say it again, just as man is destined, all man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Every one of us, we will die one day and we will face judgment. But praise God, we are covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. The triune God has entered into us.
Amen.
That we have Jesus in us.
Amen.
That we will never receive the judgment of our sin.
Amen.
Because the sin was crucified on the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But for Christians, there will be judgment according to their deeds. Mm. According to our deeds, there will be judgment. Mm. But we have to see this. He says, okay. The time came. Look at this rich man living in luxury. He wore the purple cloth, signifying that he belongs to royal family. He belongs to rich family. He belongs to prestige family, famous family. And he enjoyed his life abundantly on earth. But the time came. The time came. This is scary, isn't it? Huh? This is scary. The time came. Finish. When God calls you, okay, my son, my child, your time is up. Your time is up. Tonight, I'm going to call you. Come up. Then we have to let go. We have to let go and go. There's no one who can resist God's calling, who can resist God's commandment, isn't it? So we live every day as if today is the last day of our life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's Solomon's wisdom, isn't it? So the time came when the beggar died. Oh, look at this now. This beggar lived a terrible life, isn't it? Very hungry life, thirsty life. Hmm? Very poor life on this earth. Huh? But praise God, when the beggar died, his totally different, a new life begins.
Amen.
In heaven. How about that? So for this beggar, it's a good news. That he died, actually, isn't it? Because his entire life on earth, there's sores, there's sickness, there's disease, and he's in poverty. He has no food to eat. He's a beggar. It's cold outside. It's too hot. I mean, he's living a miserable life. But when he died, oh, praise the Lord, something totally new and different life begins.
Amen.
He's on Abraham's side, meaning he's on Father's side. He's resting now, and he's enjoying the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember the scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Apostle Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is what?
Gain.
Come on, church. To die is what?
Gain.
To die is what?
Gain.
Do not be afraid of death.
Amen.
Do not be afraid of death. Because when you die, that's when your life begins with Christ.
Amen.
In eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For Christians, for believers, death is not the end of life, but it's actually the new beginning with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Pastor Paul says, oh, it is far better for me to die right now to be with Jesus Christ. Far better. I want to be with Jesus Christ because he loves me so much. And I love him so much. I want to die right now and be with Jesus Christ. For your sake, it's better for me to stay here. For your sake.
Amen.
For Pastor Paul himself, it would be much better to be with Jesus. But for church sake. Church in Philippines, for your sake is better. For to me, I want to be with Jesus Christ right now. Oh, I want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
I want to graduate this earth. These days I say often to my wife, I think she's maybe scary. So I say, Rachel, it's time for me to graduate this earth. I really want to be with Jesus Christ. But for your sake, it's better for me to stay here a little longer. A little longer. And after that little longer is finished, I want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
How about you? How about you, brother?
Huh?
It's better for you to die now and be with the Lord? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I asked the wrong person. Your wife is here. I'm sorry. Your wife. Devon, I think he's single now. How about you, brother Devon? Do you think it's much better for you to die now to be with the Lord?
Yes.
But for your father's sake and your family's sake, it's better for you to stay here, right? Right? For the sake of your future wife, it's better for you to stay, right? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, now listen now. Okay, this beggar died. And he's with Jesus Christ, he's in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord! I don't have to worry about food anymore because I'm eating from the king's table now every day.
Amen.
Oh, there's a banana everywhere. Someone told me I love banana. Who told me? Huh? Vincent, brother, you okay? All right. You have a gift of meditation right now. You're like, but please use the gift of hearing now. Don't use the wrong gift. All right. Bible says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. Oh, I'm getting hot here.
So, the beggar, honey, you want my cloth?
All right. The beggar eats all these different kinds of fruits, huh? What's your favorite fruit? Banana, apple, orange, huh? What's your favorite, Christina? What's your favorite fruit?
Watermelon.
Okay, I'll give you a million watermelon there. You can eat all you want. Guess what? Your life in eternity, guess what? It's eternal. It never ends. Praise the Lord. Now that's scary. Now that's really fun, but at the same time, that's really scary. So if you end up in heaven, you're going to be in so much fun because you're going to enjoy watermelon every day. Pa 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 every day. We have that song, don't we? We should sing that song. Yes, every day. Huh? So every day you're enjoying the best food, you're enjoying the best presence of Jesus Christ, you're enjoying the fresh air, all handsome, all. Oh, Ansan. I live in Ansan like years now. Oh, almost like 10 years now. And my lung is becoming dark. I gotta move. You see, I'm coughing, huh? Oh, in the kingdom of God is fresh air.
Amen.
$1 million air. Right. Did you know if you want to live, you need to go up to the mountain. The mountain, the trees, the pine trees, right? They release fresh air. And then when you drink the air, increase the immune system in you. And it will fight back the bacteria, right? The disease, and you'll be very healthy. That's why we need to go back to the natural, nature.
Amen.
Nature. You see, we are developing the high tech and all this like computer thing, all the chip, you know, playing with the cell phone. Oh, I wish, God, take away your cell phones. Oh. My second son is always playing with cell phones. So every time I see him playing with cell phones, I say, oh!
Amen.
It's like a big idol thing. Next time I'll show you about cell phone. I recently found out about cell phone that actually there's a spirit. Someone described it as like this. There's a spirit in cell phone. The chips in cell phone that remembers everything you do, right? And that you are indirectly, you are communicating with that chip, the spirit of chip in your cell phone, right? And it's controlling you. Hmm? So every time message comes, beep, you're like, huh? You're praying, but something's beep. You know,
what is this?
You're reading the Bible, beep. It's distracting. Your relationship with Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
But listen to this now. So this beggar died, praise the Lord, but what happened? No, before. But beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, and guess what? The rich man also died. The rich man also died. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand, beggar will die, and the rich man will die also. We have to understand, the beggar died, and the kings will die too. Beggar died, we have to understand, the doctors will die too. Do you know doctor who treat cancers? They also die with cancer.
Yes.
Do you know that? Do you know every day, according to study, every day in your body, 5,000 cancerous cell birth in your body every day. 5,000 cancer cells. Generated. Yeah, 5,000 cancer cells generate in your body every day.
Wow.
So why we don't get cancer? Because the good cells in our body, NK natural killer, the good cells in our body, they fight with the cancerous cell, the bad cells, and then they win, so that we don't get cancer. But if there's no good cell in our body, the cancer cell will overcome and will eat you up, and then you're going to have cancer everywhere. And it's a matter of time to die. So there's a warfare going on in your body every day.
Amen.
Did you know? Without God's grace, we're doomed. We're gonna die. Without God's grace, we cannot live one day.
That's right.
Listen, rich man also die. No matter how rich you live on this earth, but there's death. No matter how educated you are, but there's death. No matter how famous you are, or how beautiful a wife you have, or how handsome, intelligent husband you have, like PJ, it doesn't matter, you're gonna die. Right? The end of it is death. And, Bible says, was buried. Was buried. You know what that signifies? When we die, our body, flesh, will return to dust. We're nothing but a dust. Our body is nothing but a dust. Say, greet your brothers, sisters. Hello, dust. Would you please respect your sisters by saying, hello, pretty dust. Please respect your sisters. Hello, pretty dust. Would you please respect your brothers by saying, handsome dust. Doesn't matter, we're a dust. This body is a dust. Huh? Doesn't matter how much you decorate your face. You're decorating upon the dust. Don't spend too much money on your dust.
Amen.
Leave it as you are. Amen?
Amen?
God accepts just as you are. You're beautiful.
Amen.
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 This will not make you more beautiful. You're beautiful as you are. Okay. All right, next. Verse 23. Let's read it together. Begin. In hell, where he was tormented.
He looked up and saw Abraham's far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me,
and sent Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in the fire. Oh Lord Jesus, may God open our eyes today and see the reality of hell. Now that word hell, in Greek word, is Gehenna. It means a lake of fire. Lake of fire. Actually, the word hell does not exist in the Bible. The version of the Bible wrongly translate that word. It said hell. Actually, it's called lake of fire. Okay? You know something new today. There's no word hell in the Bible. It's a lake of fire. Okay, so so in hell, in lake of fire, in Gehenna, right? Where he was in torment. Now this rich man, when he died, he was in torment. Now we have to understand, this lake of fire is full of torment. Okay? And because he was such in agony and such in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away. Far away. From lake of fire and the heaven, there's a far distance, it's a far away. Right? And with Lazarus by his side. So you see this rich man in the lake of fire, and he looked up, and in the heaven there's Abraham, and on his side there's Lazarus the beggar, and he's enjoying the love, he's enjoying the presence. Okay, in verse 24, so he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I get thirsty easily. Some of you maybe you don't get thirsty easily, but I get thirsty easily. And I remember that when I was fasting, okay, I'm not good with fasting, but when I was fasting, I remember like a half day I did not drink water. And I was so thirsty, right? And my throat is dried up, and my tongue is dry, and I was so thirsty. Now, Just imagine you are in the under the hot scorched sun. Okay, you are under the hot scorched sun and you are in the desert. Now how many are from desert? Desert area? There's a desert?
I've been there.
In Australia? So imagine you are in desert, okay? Alright? Now travel with me, come on. Now. Okay, use your imagination now, okay? Okay, you took the Asiana airline and you moved to, let's go to Egypt now, Egypt. Okay, you landed in, is it Kairos?
Yeah.
Cairo, Egypt, alright? Now, let's go to the, take a bus, it's called overflowing bus, and then we'll go to the desert. We arrive desert, and it's desert. No water, no oasis, okay? And you start walking now. It's 45 degrees hot, scorching sun, all right? It's shining upon your head, it's just hot, and you have nothing. You have nothing, only one towel, all right? You're wiping the sweatings, and no water, nothing. You walk now 1 hour, hot, scorched sun, 1 hour. How thirsty are you? I remember when I first planted this church, I took a group of, you were there, Christina, weren't you? We went to the Taegu Do, and we went there for baptism, right? You were there, right? Well, and then we went back to Taegu Do, and guess what? We didn't check the water level, the tides, right? So when we arrived, it was the water was gone. So like, oh no, we arrived at the wrong time. I didn't know we had to check. You see, I wasn't aware of the Korean culture. So, oh no! So we had to walk how many hours? About 1 hour, right? About 1 hour, we all walked. It was a desert. The sun was so hot, and the land was so muddy, right? And it's rocky everywhere. So it's walking like this with the guitar. And I thought I was gonna die. Literally, I pray in my spirit, God, I don't wanna die here. If I die, I wanna die in a mission field. Anyway. So remember that, right? We were so thirsty. So you're walking 1 hour now. Imagine, using your imagination. You're thirsty, right? Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
How many are you thirsty? Oh, see? A lot of people not, still not thirsty. Okay. You walk 10 hours now.
Oh my goodness.
Hot sun and no water. Your saliva is gone now. Your saliva is gone. Oh, it's dry here. 10 hours. Okay. How many of you are thirsty now? There's more poor people. And still people, some people are not thirsty. They have extra water here. Okay? You're walking now 24 hours.
Oh.
Whole day, 24 hours. Scorched, hot sun, no water. You're dried up. Your eyes are white.
We are dead. Huh? You start to bleed from your nose and your mouth.
Oh, you start bleeding in the desert.
Yeah. But first you go blind.
Oh, that's why I'm right. It will turn into white. The eye will flip over. You're happy now. Okay, there's a point where I'm sharing this illustration. So you are so thirsty, right? Huh? You are in agony now. Now you don't care. You cannot eat hamburger at this time. You'll die if you eat hamburger. After being thirsty in the desert, open desert for maybe 10 days. Not 10, you cannot survive, possibly. After 2 days, you can survive maybe up to 3 days, right? After 2 days, you're almost dying, right? You understand, you're almost dying. That agony, that thirstiness, he's talking about, right? He's talking about. This rich man is saying, hey, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the finger. Now his finger is quite small, isn't it? And you dip your finger in the water. Brother Jeremiah. He's my friend. Alright. Kneel. And chin's up. My hand is clean. Do you believe? Do you believe? It's a holy finger. A holy one. Abraham finger, okay? But deep. Open your mouth. How do you feel?
So nice.
It's so nice because you're so thirsty.
24 hours in the desert, no water.
24 hours, yeah, no water in the desert. You will dance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like a damn water.
You feel it? Do you feel it? Who wants to feel the whole water? Come down. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Huh? Can you imagine this? Why is he in so agony? Why just he's longing for one drop of water with his tip finger? Because he was in the lake of fire. Now, brothers, sisters, the Bible clearly mentions this, that Gehenna is a lake of fire. And the fire will burn the entire being. But guess what? It's so hot, but it's not burning. Now that's agony. I said it again. The fire is so hot, it's not comparable with the fire that we have in the stove here in the kitchen. It's 1,000 times probably hotter than this, and yet it's not burning. But you just feel the pain. That's it. You feel the pain and you're in agony, but it's not burning. Because if it's burning, then you yourself will disappear, will dissolve, isn't it? With strong fire, your being will dissolve, right? But it's not dissolving, it's not disappearing. You're not dying. You know, what's scary about this hell, we call it hell, what's scary about hell is that you don't die. And guess what? There's no turning back. Once person enters into this lake of fire, there is no turning back. There is no more chance to be saved. And it's terrible. It's terrible to be there in the place of torment. Oh, tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because my entire being is in agony, in pain. I'm in agony in this fire, Bible says, right? I'm in agony in this fire. Oh, I'm longing for just one tip of water. But my brothers, I want you to see this vision now. Okay, listen, we need to see the vision of Christ, but we need to see the reality of hell, isn't it? Because people are dying and people are entering into the hell every day. Am I right?
Yes.
Hello, brother and sister, am I right?
Yes.
And I know some people, their parents or their family members are dying. And if they don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ while they're alive, the destination is only one place. It's a lake of fire. And it's so hot in agony. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you care? Do you care that so many people end up in this lake of fire? If you see the reality of hell, I believe you're going to have a burden in your heart. And I believe you're going to have a fire in your spirit. And you cannot help but to go outside and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're going to share Jesus Christ. Hallelujah!
Amen.
But if you don't see, and you don't care about people going to hell because you didn't see it. Oh, we need to see the vision of the kingdom of God, the paradise. Hallelujah. And at the same time, we need to see the vision of hell. And it's a real place. Okay, let's go. All right, let's read the verse 25. Begin. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony." Okay, so he's saying, hey, when you were on earth, you had good things. You had good things. You had your rewards. And you were comforted there. But now you're in agony. Listen, brothers and sisters. Look at that verse. Look at that word, the comforted. Listen. The goal of our life on earth is not comfort, but it's character.
Amen.
If you go after your character on this earth, guess what? You're going to be comfort in the kingdom of God. But if you go after comfort on this earth, that's going in the wrong direction. Don't expect comfortness. There's only comfort in Christ.
Amen.
Even if you are being persecuted, if you are in Christ, you have the comfort.
Amen.
You have the peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no peace outside Christ. There's no comfort outside Christ.
Amen.
Only Jesus Christ is our comfort. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 26, read together, begin. And besides all this, between us, you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. You see, we have to clearly understand. Once a man dies, That's the end of it. Whether he, if he's saved, he will go to heaven or he will go to hell. And from heaven to hell, there's no crossover. There's no transportation. There's no train. There's no bus. There's no taxi. You understand? Each end of it, it's forever. Next. Look at this now. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Do you hear this rich man's heart? Now that he's in torment, he's in agony. He's begging Father Abraham, "Please send Lazarus to my brothers." Why? Why he's asking this? Yeah. Obviously, he does not want his brothers to come to this hell, right? The place of torment. But he's asking this wrong. He's asking the wrong question. Look, he's asking, "Have Lazarus come alive from death?" Because everybody know, my brother is aware that Lazarus died. And if you make miracles, if you show miracles that Lazarus arise from the dead and appear before my brothers and talk about this hell, they will believe it. Because Lazarus is already dead and he comes alive, that's a miracle of God. And they must believe his word. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, right? But this is wrong. This is wrong. This is a very important lesson here. I want to tell you. Okay, lift your eyes now. No meditation. Lift your eyes, please. Lift your head a little, shoulders out. This is not humbleness, no. The humble is here. Listen. Are you ready for this truth?
No.
Miracles, signs and wonders and miracles does not change a person's heart.
Amen.
I said it again. Signs and wonders and miracles does not change person's life. You want a change in your life? You want a transformation in your life? It's not the miracles you see. What will change you? What will transform you? It's the power of the gospel. It's Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ our Lord will change you. That's why Abraham replied this. Now, next verse. Abraham, verse 29. Abraham replied. Let's read it together. Begin. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Verse 31. Go ahead.
He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead."
Now Abraham said, "Okay, if you make Lazarus come alive from death, that miracle will make my brothers repent." But Abraham says, "No, you're wrong. They will not repent." And Abraham says, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets." Now who's Moses? Who's Moses and prophets? He's talking about what? He's talking about the. He's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about the word of God. If they don't listen to the word of God, they will not listen to Lazarus. Now this is the truth. The only thing that will transform us genuinely, sincerely, and in a real way is the word of God.
Amen.
Hello, church.
Amen.
Open your eyes. I know you're tired. I know you're tired from factory working. I know. I know how hard that work is. But you can't miss this point. Please. This is life and death issue. Okay? The life and death issue. This is so too important. Because I do not want to hear any person in this place to end up in the lake of fire. And you came to Old Front Church and yet you are not saved and you end up in the lake of fire. That's a so sad story, isn't it? And I'm also responsible. And I don't want that. I love you, and God loves you, and I want all of us, not excluding one person, to be saved and have eternal life with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, miracles and signs and wonders cannot change you, cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ's words can save you.
Amen.
Remember the story about centurion. He was a kind of manager of the soldier, right? He has hundreds of soldiers under him. And then his servant was sick. And he came to Jesus and said, please heal my servant. And Jesus said, okay, let's go to your house to see your servant. And the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy to hold you at my house. Just say the word.
Amen.
Just say the word.
Amen.
And my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, okay, as it is. And then at that very moment, his servant was healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 66, I believe he says, oh, God is looking for people who will tremble before the word of God. And we need the people of God who will tremble before the word of God.
Amen.
Who will invest their life on the word of God.
Amen.
If the word of God says this, then that will be it.
Amen.
God says it, I believe it, and it will settle down.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bible says the word of God will never return void.
Amen.
The word of God will never return void.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When you go to someone's house, Bible says you pray for peace. Because peace is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the King of peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you speak, keep peace, Jesus, in that room.
Mm.
You bless the house with peace. Now, if that house is qualified to receive the peace, it will go to that person. But if it does not qualify, then the peace will come back to you. You know what I'm talking about? Now, look, when you speak the word of God to somebody, and somebody is willing to accept it, praise God, you earn that soul. But if he does not accept that word of God, the word of God will come back to me and bless my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will build my character. It will build my life.
Amen.
Speak the word of God.
Amen.
Avoid human speaking. Oh Lord Jesus, speak the word of God.
Amen.
Speak Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Speak Christ. That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Every Sunday, I want you to come up to the front during the prophecy time. Come up and open the Bible and speak Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you think only Pastor Paul can preach? Do you really believe only Pastor Paul can preach? I don't think so. Do you think that's God's will? No. These days, too many people are just hearers. They just come and hear. No. What God wants of the Sunday service is that each member, you talked about us as a body of Christ, we all need to function and we all need to obey the voice of God, right? Not fear, isn't that right? God spoke to you. See, listen, we all need to speak Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should never be mute or deaf. God gave you spirit, God gave you heart, God gave you mouth. We need to speak Christ and we need to proclaim Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Such a season as this, we are living in a December now. It's all about Christmas. By the way, December is not, we don't know if Jesus Christ was born in December. But anyway, people are so, you know, so their heart is up. Their blood is up. you understand? Their heartbeat is up because it's all Christmas. It's all gifts and all this Santa Claus and all this. By the way, it has nothing to do with the Bible. But anyway, people are so in tune with this decoration and celebration mode, isn't it? And they're so lonely because they're away from their family, blah, 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 right? Such time as this, this is the best time to share Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, speak Jesus.
Amen.
Speak Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Word, John chapter 1, the Word, in the beginning, there was the Word.
The word
was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. He was full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. Oh, we need the Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need the Word. I need the Word. Every Saturday we have seminary here, and we are studying the Word thoroughly. We dig into the Word of God. Although many of you are not seminary students, you want to learn. You want to learn the Word of God, the present truth. Talk to Rachel and says, although I am not a seminary student, I want to know the word of God. Would you send me the recordings? If I were you, I would do that. Because you have hunger and thirstiness for the righteousness.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
I'm not boasting myself here, but I am telling you, okay, I'm telling you what is biblical and what is right now. Because in my spirit, I'm convicted. We are talking about the present truth. I'm convicted. We're talking about the Bible. And it's edifying all the students' soul. So if it's edifying them, the small number, why not all of us be edified? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You tell her. Send me too. Send me too. Oh, Lord Jesus. I want to share the last verse. Would you please give me Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. Okay, let's read it together. Begin. How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the one who proclaim him? And how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How can the people in the world call on the name of the Lord when we do not share, when we are not being sent? Now, during this season of Christmas, December, let's use this opportunity to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, because there's a power of God's salvation for those who believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, the word of God is a double-edged sword. It will pierce into the heart of people, and it will bring repentance, and it brings salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus, now I wanna send you. I wanna commission you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I commission all my brothers and sisters here on the Overflowing Church to go out and be the messengers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you will not pass by your friend. You will preach Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Listen. Don't ask which church they go to. Don't ask that. Ask, do you know Jesus? Are you enjoying Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? Hallelujah. If you die right now, would you go to heaven? If you die right now, would you go to heaven? Be with Jesus. Ask that question. And then lead your brothers into Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, there's a heaven and lake of fire. And people's life is at stake. And their life is waiting for you to come and to share the gospel. Let's sing this song. People need the Lord. Can we all rise together? Sing this song. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. We are included. I need the Lord. Do you need the Lord?
Amen.
Don't ask for another miracle. Ask for another word of God.
Amen.